Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is truly a day that God has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. And with everything going on, I believe everyone has something that they can thank God for. God is a good God, a merciful God, a loving God, a kind God. And it is now the 8:30 hour, time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I realize that this is an opportunity that God has afforded unto us. And I thank him, and I thank each and every one of you who take time out of your schedule and call on the line. We're living in trying times, y'all. And it's the word of God that's going to sustain us and carry us through. We have to put all our faith and trust in God, because he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. As always, we come together on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour to explore the word of God together. And tonight, I want you to know that the title of the lesson is, I'm Not Complaining, I'm Just Explaining. You know, when we say that, we sometimes have to say things that may seem like we're complaining, but sometimes we're just explaining what the circumstances and situations are. And that's the title for the night. We are coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 8th through the 18th verse. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song that I think is so appropriate for us on tonight. And as the song plays, please lift up a prayer for our Bible study. Pray for one another, because it's prayers that makes a difference. I'm only going to give you information tonight, but through the gift of our Holy Spirit, we will and hopefully receive illumination and revelation. Holy Ghost, I'm letting you know I come with a spirit of expectancy, expecting the word of God to deliver what it was sent out to do, that it touch the hearts of each and everyone on this line, and everyone that's calling and get it through the internet, and everybody who listened to it from Facebook, and everybody in the other countries around the world, to all of you, I say thank you. And my prayers for all of us. So I'm going to play this song. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace by our prayer warrior, Sister Pam. And then we're going to explore the word of God together. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Listen to the words of this song, because it's encouragement for all of us.
It seems hard to see, I care for you. And sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. my heart that you really love me. But other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, pain, heartache, I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
letting us know, no matter what we're going through, that God is always right in the middle of it. Right in the middle. And that's what you could hold on to. That's what you should hold on to. Realizing that God will never leave you. He promised never to forsake you. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And he's everywhere at the same time. God has our best interests at heart, even when we go through the trials and tribulations of life. And right now, y'all, there's so much going on. There's something on every side. But God is in the front of you, the back of you, and each side of you, so he's got you. Hallelujah. You got to trust him. And you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Cast all your cares tonight upon him because he cares for you. And at this time, I'm going to bring our intercessor for our prayer list that we collect here on this line. She's ready. She's willing. She's able. She's already pressed the one button. And now all I have to do is open the mic for Sister Pam. Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you can go to the throne of grace in any manner that the Holy Spirit is directing you.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'll read the prayer list first. Minister Diane and family, Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane, Derek, and Dustin McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Tammy Ditto, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Bryan, Shamika Alexander, Mimi, Beverly Ferguson, Jasmine, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, Florida Kazier, Gwen Ellis, Adrian and Maria, Bernita Avis, Minister Tommy Banks. No, I think he passed away. Sheila.
No, he
Chris
didn't.
Oliver. He didn't? Okay, it was another one then.
No. Yeah.
Patrice Oliver.
We still need our prayer.
All right. Chriselle. Miss Carol Bridges. Minister Carol Bridges. Olaya Williams. And Devin Allen. First, giving honor to the Holy Trinity, to our sister in Christ, Minister Diane, to all of you today via phone, internet lines. Lord, I thank you tonight for life, thanking you for allowing us to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are doing, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you still to do. Father, we come tonight lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that we are living in trying times right now, but we know that you are a way maker, a miracle worker, the light in the darkness. That's who you are. Lord, we thank you for being here with us. Lord, we know you got everything. You know you got us, and all things are in your hands, and that you have control of all things. This is nothing new under the sun that's going on right now. Lord, we just ask that you be our light and that please watch over us and keep us safe from all dangers, seen and unseen. Lord Jesus, we ask in prayer tonight for all the protesters all over the world, Lord, all the things that's going on over the world. But, Lord, we know that you are only the one, you're the only one that can calm the storm. We're asking for prayers for all the families that has been affected by this police brutality, the police killings. But, Lord, we know you got us, and we're leaning and depending on you because we know that you all we have. In the name of those people of Freddie Gray, Oscar Grant, Antoine Rose, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, just to name a few. Lord, please protect our sons, our brothers, our nephews, our grandsons. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you more now than we ever needed you before. Lord, I just ask that you have mercy upon us. Have mercy over this whole United States. Have mercy upon our leaders. Pray for them, Lord, too, Jesus. Even though a lot of things that's going on, some of them may be the cause of it. The altercations. But Lord, we're asking for strength tonight. We're asking you to just look down on the White House, Lord. Go into the White House. Change the hearts of those that with the negative mind. Lord, you look on social media, the news, and it's overwhelming. It just pricks you down in your soul that it hurts when you see these things that is going on, people being treated like animals. But Lord, we know. We know that you're going to take care of all this, but we just got to hold on to your unchanging hand. And I'm asking all you brothers and sisters, everyone that's on the prayer lines tonight, on the internet, all we just got to pray one for another because it's praying times, y'all. It's praying times right now. And this Bible study that we have every Wednesday night and during the weekday that Minister Diane does, it's a nutrition that we need to give us the strength to endure. Praying time. Lord, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for lifting up the name of Jesus. Praying for everybody all around the world.
Yes, Lord.
I kind of tell y'all tonight, prayer changes things.
Yes, it does.
And it's a firm and effectual prayer of the righteousness that availeth much. When we pray, we go to God with our petitions and with our feelings and our thoughts and for our needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Pam, for bringing us to the throne of grace. We entered the courts with thanksgiving. We're thankful. And to the gates with praise. Hallelujah. We just heard prayers go up. And when you pray to God, you're asking him for the things you need. And now we're going to study the word and listen to what God has to say to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We always do a background, and I guess the background we could say for tonight is on the signs of the times. It's not about a person. It's not about a book of the Bible. But it's about the adversities, trials, and tribulations that's surrounding us. Everywhere we go, everything we do. So tonight I wanted to let you know that the title of the lesson is, I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. We're coming from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I ask that you read the whole chapter so you could have some insight. But as I start the background, I want you to know I'm just explaining the reality of this world we are living in. The Bible describes the world as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You see, the Bible also states that if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, yes, you have to be and live in this world, but you're no longer of this world. We are living in God's kingdom here on earth. You see, in this world, and if we be attracted to the world, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it would be dishonor and disobedience unto God. And when we talk about the kingdom here on earth, it is not so much a place. But if you're a child of God and you know that you should be doing kingdom living, it's an attitude of moral living by God's standards. It is when you use the Bible as your moral compass. You see, this is when we don't set our sights on the things that we could see, but in the kingdom we set our sight on the things of God, which are eternal, because everything else is temporal. We have to set our sights on the things we cannot see, and that happens by faith, because I come to tell you tonight, if you can see, you don't need faith. You see, we go to God, and God gave us all a measure of faith that we could follow him and we could just hold on to what we can't see. We don't know when this is going to end, but by faith, and we put our trust in God, we could hold on. You see, one Bible version about Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. But you know, I'm a King James girl, and it says, now faith is the substance. Now it's the substance of things hoped for. The reason that word now there puts faith in action. So now, if you put your faith in action in the substance of things hoped for, you have the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Talking about the people that obeyed God in the Old Testament, the elders received a good report by faith. You remember Abraham by faith received grace. By faith he offered up his son. By faith he left when God told him to leave, not knowing where he was going. And he had to leave everything behind. And for that, as the scripture says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith, you know, like Moses went when God sent him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see, he went by faith. He didn't know what was before him. See, this is what the Bible is telling us. And then that verse 3 said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's how important the word of God is. By the word of God, everything is and everything that will be. Hallelujah. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, for us to truly understand that God is in total control in the midst of everything going on now, for us to truly understand that God is in total control, have total power everywhere at the same time, and is all-knowing, it's the only thing that's going to help us through this. Because, you see, it's never what happens. It never is really predicated on what we go through. But you're going to learn when you hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's not as much of what you go through, but who you go through it with. Because if I ask you to write down three of the worst things in your life that happened, and if you could hear the sound of my voice, you hear today, and that too did pass. See, God's given us evidence of how he could work things out for our good, that he's taking care of us and have our best interests at heart. We have to go through sometimes. You see, everything in this world that is happening today, you know, we really can't say whether God is orchestrating or just allowing. But whatever is happening, if he didn't orchestrate it, he has to allow it. You know, we could see the hand of Satan, which is the prince of the air, all over this situation. Come on, y'all. But even when the Bible gave us a picture of Job and how God allowed Satan to tempt Job, if you really study your scripture, you'll see that every time Satan wanted to do something to Job, he had to go to God for permission. And Satan understood the rules to the game. Because what God told him not to do after he had put all of that adversity on Job, had taken everything from him that he had, and the only thing was left was his life, and God said, you can't touch it. That's when Satan leave the scene. And you don't ever see him again in the book of Job. James tell us to resist Satan and he has to flee. But Satan had to get control from God to even do what he did to Job. I come to tell you tonight, Satan has to get permission from God. And yet God does allow certain things to happen. You know, we look at all of the people who died with the coronavirus. And you would say, why would a loving God do something like that? But the Bible teaches us that we all have to die. And get it twisted. God knew the coronavirus was going to be in the land in the end of 2019 and I don't know how long through 2020. All of those people that died was destined to die. It just happened that the coronavirus was here. Nothing take God by surprise. And he don't make no mistakes. But the only way we could really understand that and hold on to it is when we remove our sight from the things of this world. You see, people are crying out to God for help concerning their health. They're grieving over debts. Injustice is all in the picture. Brutality, violence, there's loss of jobs, and everywhere there's much fear. But if you put your total trust in God, believing he will work all things out for your good. So I encourage you tonight, hold on to the confession of your faith. And you will make it through all the storms of life. You have to build yourself up in the word of God. So when the enemy attacks, you got something to hold on to. You see, all these things is the consequences of sin, not God. When sin entered the world, it caused it and all of these trials, tribulation, adversities, debt, wrongdoing, greed, all of these things came with sin. And you see, sin is collecting its consequences. Many may ponder and even ask God, how long, Lord? When this question is asked, we are not complaining. We are only explaining. And it's all right to ask God questions. You see, this question has been asked throughout the ages. Because if you look in the book of Psalms, David in Psalm 13, 1 and 2, this is what he said. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? He asked him. How long will thou hide thy face from me? See, that's how he was feeling. So I would like to say he wasn't complaining. He was just explaining how he was feeling. And then he said, how long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long I got to go through this day after day after day after day after day? And that's how it seems with us now. We've been on lockdown, social distancing. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? And even with David asking all of that, we have the evidence how God delivered him over and over and over again. God made him the greatest king to ever live, and he allowed our Savior to be born through his linkage. You see, if we look at in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we see that the prophet Habakkuk asks the same question. Why does God permit injustice? And he asks the question. Habakkuk 1 said, the burdens which Habakkuk the prophet sees. See, Habakkuk was seeing all of the devastation and all of the injustice and all of these things, and now he began to talk. That's why I say I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining the burdens that Habakkuk the prophet did see. And then to say, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou will not save. He said, how long, Lord? How long? You see, God has promised. God has not promised us a rose garden once we accept Christ as our Savior. You see, plenty of the people died from coronavirus was Christian. Even a young man who got killed on the street, they say his family was a praying family. So we're not exempt from trials and tribulations. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection took away our sins. You see, Jesus' death prepared us for eternal life on the other side. But while we live in this world, we're subjected to the things of the world. But it's not what comes our way. Again, I say it's who we go through it with. You see, Jesus took away our sins that we could have eternal life, but the consequences of those sins belong to us and they will be paid. You see, the penalty of sin that having havoc on the world right now and have had havoc in your life, that's not going to go on the other side. So all the sins, your sins, my sins, the sins of the world, the sin that Adam and Eve created, it's got to be paid for right here on this earth. So the next time you wonder why, you know why. And sin brought in death. And we all have to die because we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why, because of sin. And then if we look at John 10 and 10, you know, it lets us know that the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So tonight I tell all of us, choose Christ and live. And then I went and looked in 2 Peter 3 and 8, and Peter tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. You know, God is long suffering. You know, the question is always being asked in the Bible, Lord, when are you going to take care of our enemies? When are you going to deliver us out of this? And it seems slowness. But Peter said, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. At some point, each of us join in that some group. Lord, how long? Lord, why? And wondering how long. We reach places where it's painfully clear that our sense of time and urgency must be different from God. And I come to tell you it is. God don't work on our timetable. And really, it's the same book, I think, of Peter that speaks about a day being 1,000 years and 1,000 years being a day. And if that's literally, then we only on day two. Because it's been 2,000 years since, over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ came. So when you tell God long, you know, God don't operate like we operate on time. But you see, God knows what he knows that sometimes he appears slow to us, which is one merciful reason he gave us the Bible. While you're waiting on God and while you're going through, read it. It shows that he is compassionate towards us when we wait for him for what may seem like a long time. So I ask the question again, how long, God? And even in my asking, I could go back to my title. And I want all of y'all to know that I trust God with everything that I have. And I'm not really complaining. I'm just explaining what's going on. That's our background for tonight. And I have two scriptures, or three, from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start at the 8th verse. And it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despised. We are persecuted, watch this, but not forsaken. We get cast down, but not destroyed. And you see, 10 said, always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be made manifested in our body. We have Christ, y'all. And I'm going to read 8 and 9 one more time and get to a little bit of that. We are troubled. They ain't say on one side. It says on every side. That seems to fit right here, right now. We are troubled, but we not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's the word of God. You see, with everything going on around us, there's trouble in the land. Much of the entire world has been affected in some form or another. There is a health pandemic. Lives are being taken away because of the color of their skin. Our leaders are a large part of the problem. No wisdom, because wisdom comes from God for whoever acts, and they never act. You see, they have no real solution because all they do is lean to their own understanding. You see, the people are in the street and they unrest because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Jobs has been lost, calling financial burdens, which is about to cause more homelessness. And God, please help our elderly who have no choice but to wait for someone who's supposed to be taking care of them. Don't come in and make them sick. You see, prisoners have no way to social distance. So I imagine they wake up every morning wondering, will they live or die? You see, violence is widespread, and there seems to be no rest for the weary. The Bible teaches us that there is nothing new under the sun. Remember that, y'all. Everything that has happened has already happened. All of the burdens that are being shared now have already been burdened on someone else. So I don't want you to feel like a lone ranger. And you shouldn't just feel like having a pity party with woe is me. Because you see, like, some things, nobody's exempt. So there's no rest for the weary. The Bible teaches us that there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that has happened before. So I went back in the book of Lamentations, and we hear Jeremiah cry out to God for restoration. Sound like something we need right now? For restoration. And it's in Lamentation, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse tell us. And this is what Jeremiah cried out. He said, our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. Does this sound familiar? A neck literally under pressure. Nothing new, y'all. Sister Pam said it in our prayer. But I want you to know that God is in control, and even when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. He's God, and yes, he understands. You see, God is sovereign, and he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, where he wants, for who he wants. God doesn't have to go into concert with anyone to do what he wants to do. God has everything in control. The book of Proverbs say that the king the heart of the kings is in the hands of God. We don't have kings, but we have a president. Same thing, same suit. But you see, his heart is in the hands of God. So you might say, why? God will only tell you, I got this. Stay in your lane. I got this. These battles are not yours. They belong to me, and I'm working it out. But on my time, the way I will for it to be done. But I got this. Y'all are my children, and what would a heavenly father do for his children? He said, I got you. He said, I got you. And then I needed a little peace for the weary. So I looked up in Matthew 11:28-30, and it says, this is what Jesus said, Jesus himself, come to me, all of you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Look what he said. And this is what we have to do, y'all, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, these are trying times. But if you take and visit the word of God and you meditate like the Lord asks you to do day and night, and you fill yourself up with the goodness of God, you begin to trust his holy hand, and you patiently wait till a change comes. You're not in this alone. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. So after I read all of this and I did this paper, you know, I was looking and I looked all through the Bible, and even though the prophets spoke of gloom and doom, there was always a message of hope. And Paul wrote this fourth chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians. We read the 8th and the 9th verse. But if you read the whole chapter, you'll see, hallelujah, that there is some, hallelujah, some goodness to follow. You see, Paul made the above statement as to say how long, because of his faith in these verses I'm going to read to you now. This is 14 through 18 in the same chapter. It'll give you hope. You see what he's saying in verse 14. Knowing he which raised up Christ Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. That Jesus is going to present us to God. And Jesus says, not right here, but he told God, he said, everyone that you gave me, everyone on that 830 prayer line that you gave me when they accepted Christ, he said, I got all of them. And I ain't lose none of them. I ain't let none of them go, and I only lost one, and that was Judas. 15 say, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. 16, for which cause we thank not. The race not given to the swift, y'all. You got to use perseverance in times like these. The race, for this cause we faint not, but through our, and though, watch this, our outward man perish, our body, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. There's new mercies, new grace every day, y'all. And 17, for your light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Y'all got to get that. The things of this world, everything in this world, going to burn up with fervent heat, it says in Revelation. It's all temporal. So you have to watch what you put your sights on, what you do to get money, how you treat one another. Because everything in this world is temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So as I close tonight, I want to tell my brothers and sisters, hold on because help is on the way. And yes, trouble may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, during this time, we have to let go and let God. And even when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan, for he is God, and yes, he do understand. And this is so important, because there's a lot of praying in the land going on right now. But whenever you pray, let him have his way, and he guaranteed that he will fix it for you. Take your prayers and leave it on the altar. Give him your trial, your troubles, and your emotions and how you feel, and wait and let him fix it for you. Remember what God told Paul, and he's saying it to all of us right here and now. It's in the same book in Corinthians, but you got to go a little further back to in the 9th verse. And this is what it said. This is the same Paul. Verse 9, he said unto me, Paul saying, this is what God said unto him. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. Those who don't know, Paul had a problem. Paul went to God once, he went to God twice, and he went to God the third time. And then God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's our lesson tonight. The race not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but those who endure until the end. Let Jesus fix it for you. And trouble don't last always. Joy does come in the morning. And it's all right to say how long. How long. So tonight I wasn't complaining, y'all. I was just explaining the state of this world and my eyesight. So that's the lesson tonight, and I pray that it bless someone. And now I left time in case people want to have anything to say. You can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic and you can speak. If anyone would like to say anything, God is affording the opportunity. Caller, your number is 504-237-63. Your mic is open. Maybe it was pressed by error. Caller, your number is 237-63. And I didn't call your last two numbers. Your mic is open.
I'm sorry. I was speaking and my phone was still on mute. This is Shirley. I'd like to first thank God for even the opportunity to be here and to hear the word of God expounded on. It's fruitful for me. I thank God for you and for it because the word helps me. The word excites me, and I love studying the word. And I thank God for the word that he gave us tonight that helped me in the fact that I won't be complaining anymore. I'll be trying with everything that's inside of me to explain. And when you close with the 9th verse, I just thank and praise God because his grace is sufficient. in my prayer, I've been praying and asking God, you know, all of us are praying, but God made me a prayer warrior, and that's why I pray. I give all the glory and honor to him. And my prayer has been that God will help us and have mercy on us. And when in the ninth chapter, when I heard it, and listen, I've been hearing it all through my life, how God's grace is sufficient. I just thank God for his grace, because he said it's sufficient. What else you need? If you have God's grace, you have what you need. And then he don't stop with giving you his grace. Then he tells you that your strength is made perfect in weakness. For his strength is made perfect. When you're weak, God is strong in you. And all of us are weak at some points and strong at some. But that strength, his strength is made perfect in me. And I thank God for his strength, because mine gets weak a lot. And then he tells us to glory in our infirmities. Well, to learn how to do that one. And I had to learn how to glory in infirmities, things that I couldn't see and couldn't, things that made me feel bad. And I just thank God for his word, though, because even though I have infirmities, even though I'm weak, even though I'm going through, even though it's not good, even though I'm sick, but he told me to just glory in it. And because he knows that when we give glory to him, and when we glory in our infirmities and our weakness and what we're going through, then the power of Christ rests upon us. Then God starts moving in and through us, and he changes that from what we thought we was going to be sad about and weak about and going through. And then we start giving praises and honor and glory to God. So I just thank you, my sister, for even bringing us here. You know, God ordained this before the foundation, but somebody had to yield to him for him to even bring us here at this point. And I thank God for you, and I thank God for his word that gives me strength, that helps me through my lifetime. Again, I just say thank you for the word, and I'm going to try with everything that's inside of me not to complain, but to keep trying to explain, and not just explain the word of God to others, because when I explain it to them, then it comes to me. So thank you, my sister.
Thank you so much, Minister Shirley Earle, my friend, my buddy. Thank you for calling in tonight. Thank you so much. Any other comments or questions? You can press the one button on your phone. I wonder if that means I did a good job. But anyway, when Minister Earls was speaking, it made me think about James in the book of James. James told us that when we fall into divers of temptation, you know, he was speaking of trials and tribulations and the storms of life. He didn't say if we ever fall. He said when we fall into divers, which means many. He said, count it all joy. And we have to hold on to the word of God, because the word of God is our strength. The word of God gives us power. The word of God is our comfort and our God. The word of God is our Jesus. And along with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to tell you, be encouraged on tonight. Trouble don't last always. God is in control. And he never failed us yet. You know, many times in our lives, God let our problems and adversities become our testimony. And just be patient. Caller, your number is 504-250-79. Your mic is open.
Hi, Pastor Diane. I just wanted to say thank you for this refreshing word on tonight.
Thank you, Sister Angelique. And I'm not
You're
a pastor.
Very welcome. Minister Diane. I...
Y'all speaking things in my
you.
Life, huh?
Oh, yes,
but
yes, yes.
Thank you so much,
you.
Sister Angelique, for calling in.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I have another caller. Your number is 504-230-33. Your mic is open.
Hi, you did a wonderful job, by the grace of God, as always. And, yes, I really, what I loved about the lesson the most was all of it is really good. But the part when God lets us know that even though that we have trouble on every side and we go through distress and different things, that we are not cast down. We're not destroyed. He's always with us and he always have our backs. And that's just so encouraging because even though sometimes it seems weary or look like we're not going to make it, but we know we are because we trust him. And like you said, he's never failed us and he never will. And I just thank you for the word of God. You did a wonderful delivery. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister, my friend, Elizabeth. Thank you, darling. Thank you for calling in, taking time out of your schedule to come and explore the word of God with us on tonight. God honors that, and I thank you. We have another caller who has pressed the line. Caller, your number is 504-208-888. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 208-888. Your mic is open.
Oh, T. Diane, I'm sorry. I was talking down and the thing was on mute on my end. But I wanted to everybody
We'd
good
been
night.
On... Them dead mute button got us going back and forth on all these conference calls. We'd be on three
yeah.
to four conference calls a day. And we mute our phone, take it off, mute our phone, and we're doing the best we can. But that's okay, Tamika. Your mic is open.
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you, thank you for the teaching tonight, and I appreciate you. I hear you say on a regular basis that when we're going through things, it's okay to ask how long. You said something, I don't know which day it was, but it was like the journey that we're on right now is like the journey through life and we're journeying to, like, our death date. And it may not have come out like that, but people receive things differently. And I was talking to some of my coworkers today, and I'm like, my aunt said something, and it just was, like, profound to me. You know, like, we're living, and if things are not exactly what you want it to be, it's like you have to be asking God to hopefully grant you the things that you're asking for, because right now it's like what matters is your loved ones and what's important to you. If you don't do it now, then, you know, when? And I think you said something like that as well, but sometimes I be feeling like that. Like, when is it going to be, you know, my season? I don't know if I've been doing things that, you know, God considers to be disobedient, or if his answer is no, or he's preparing me for it. But when I think about my age and all of these other things, sometimes I feel like a late bloomer. And I'm just ready for things to change. And I'm glad that it's okay to not in like a scolding way or impatient type way, but just to be like, you know, how long? You know, I'll be 45 this year. And I'm like, where did the time go? Like, what was I doing? You know, and now I see things a lot more clearer now. And I have vision and things of that nature and certain things that I would like on the personal side. And I'm like, feel like I'm running against the clock, if you will. So,
right.
You know, I'm trying to do things differently and still you know, be patient. Like I was telling you today, when I was talking to you and my cousin, you know, you said that God is in control and he doesn't make any mistakes, so we just have to be patient and wait. And, you know, this ties into what I was saying the other day when we had another discussion when we was praying, like, you know, what am I waiting for? You know, so I'm just going to keep on calling in and just continue to say my prayers, you know, and just hope that things change. And I thank you for letting me know, you know, and you tell everybody on the call, it's okay to ask, you know, how long, but just remain vigilant in prayer and just trust God. So that's it.
Right.
But thank you so much for the mercy, Diane.
Right. And that's why I even went back in the Bible and saw where it was asking that. I only picked them because we only have a certain amount of time, but it's a question that's asked. You know, it's a question that's asked and it's legitimate. But even with me asking God how long, it don't mean I'm ready to give up. It don't mean I'm not going to hold on to my faith. It's not the, it's, I'm still trusting him 100%. But I just, you know, stop by to ask that question. And God understands that. People say you can't question God. I got those scriptures out of the Bible. And they was from the prophet and King David. We have to realize that. And that's how I'm feeling. So that's why I prepared this paper on tonight. And I'm sure there was others. I'm not sure, but I could imagine that others did feel the same way. And to put it in a perspective. And that's how I decided to do this on tonight. Because there's a lot going on. And we've been in close. Go ahead, baby. What'd you say?
I say I appreciate it. I think everybody just want a sigh of relief. Like, I don't want the glitz and glam lifestyle. Like I always say when I come on, that I want to be able to take care of my mom and just have stability for my family and hopefully put other people in position to have things as well, because I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like I've struggled all of my life. And my mom said something, I feel like I'm about to burst into tears. She was over here one day, and we were just talking, and she was like, she struggled as well. And she still kind of say, I still am, but I know how to maneuver now. And that pretty much broke my heart. Like, I just want to do better to be able to just take care of her, you know. And I was saying once before, T-Dying, with the mothers, like, you never know what you guys go through because you try to be so strong for your children and your grandchildren, you know. So we don't know the tears that you guys cry at night, or, you know, what your prayers and stuff are. So that's another reason why I'm like, I'm trying to do everything possible, you know, to make sure that I'm able to land on, like they say, your 10 toes and just try to take off with everything running. So I really needed to hear this, and again, thank you, T-Dying.
And the other day, you might not remember, but one of our prayer line persons, Sister Angelique, you know, she said something that was sort of like what you're saying. So, and Angelique said it out to everybody, so I'm not, you know, saying anything wrong, and she's on the line. But she said that she was 48, and until she got on the prayer line with us and with us doing prayer 7 days a week. We was doing it 3 times a day, and we have a 12 noon Bible study every day. She said after being in the Word and under the prayers for a period of time, and this was a little while ago, she said she was 48, and she felt like she just had come out of the wilderness, that, you know, everything before that was not really a waste of time, a null and void. But she says, you know, she got it. You know, being under prayers and being under study every day makes a difference. So like you saying, she's not looking for this and that and this and that. She just want to be happy in Jesus. She want to please Jesus and be able to take care of her needs and everything. And, you know, that's what, you know, she's trying to go to. So when you say that by being your age and it felt like where you've been, and you're not, everything, every year of your life, God is going to use it to get you into your intended purpose. All of your life experiences count with God. He made, you know, he allows us to to do things when, you know, he allows us to go through things. He had David tending sheep all in them years to learn how to be a good shepherd. So God is not through with you. And you have time, and it's never over until God says it's over.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything to say? If not, we'll do a benediction. No one else have anything else to say? I'm going to just do a benediction, and y'all know this is my favorite one. Because I'm asking and really pleading with everyone that you please grow in the grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And forevermore means you're going to keep learning till you die or Jesus come back to get us in the raptures. But you keep growing in grace and keep getting the knowledge of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. I thank each and every one of you. I thank God for allowing us to have this opportunity. And if it's your will, if it's your desire and God's will, we'll be back on Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday night, 8:30, same dial-up number. And tomorrow we have prayer at 9. We have a Bible study at 12. We pray again at 6, 7 days a week. We are now on our 68 or 69th day, nonstop, never miss. So if people would like to join, you could call the prayer line and we could give you the information, the prayer line number. But until then, God be with you until we meet again. I love each and every one of you more than you could ever imagine, because the love of God in me is extended towards you. And I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. See you next time, and be blessed.